the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am your host, Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Yeah, boys, I'm back. I'm back from New York Comic Con, and I just got to say right now, Kingdom Hearts 3, so awesome, boys. It's so awesome.
Bring it to Switch. And, of course, Tyler Sour Grapes. I mean, tell you it's Tyler.
You're right. I'm a little sour about how dumb that death battle was. I'm going to say dumb, but I'm also happy because the Red Sox are now 12 outs away from going to the World Series. They're up 4-0. They laid it on to Justin Verlander.
Did they just get a three-run homer or something?
Oh, yes, they did.
Dang.
As a matter of fact, Devers homered to left.
So, yeah, I think it's fair to say the Red Sox are going to the World Series. Congrats.
I don't want to say that yet. No, not yet. Not yet. They're going to put in Craig Kimbrell in the ninth, and that man cannot throw a strike. So if the Astros just stand there and watch, you know, for eight batters, they will just walk in the runs. So we got some work to do. But it's looking good.
It's looking good. All right, I want to apologize to everyone, including Tyler and Will, for not being able to do last week's show. I was doing a play, actually, and I didn't even think about not being able to do it until, like, the day before, because we had our play practice at night, and so by the time I kept getting home, it was, like, 11 o'clock, which is 12 o'clock their time, and I didn't want to do that to him. And honestly, last week was really slow, all right? There was, like, no news, like, significant or otherwise, so, yeah.
Honestly, this week's pretty slow, too.
Granted. We've had enough. It was much better than last week. I promise you.
True.
Anyway, we're back and we got a lot to talk about. So let's get started off with what have you been playing? And Tyler Sour Grapes. I mean, tell you, Tyler, why don't you start it off?
Well, I have been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2 still.
Nice.
I still don't like it, but chapter 5 and 6 were better. They were better. I'm not going to say they were great. But they were pretty enjoyable. I like the story got better. I gotta say, I'm a sucker for any like religious place in games. I'm a huge fan of any like sanctuary because the music's usually really cool. So I got to Indol, and Indol is very, very cool. My favorite character is Praetor Amalthus right now. I didn't say his name right for sure.
That's his name, Amalthus.
Yeah, I like him. I know that he's obviously the boss of the game, or like very close to it. He seems like he's on your side. Spoiler alert. I don't honestly know that he's evil. I'm just going to tell you, he's obviously the final boss or second to last boss.
I will not say a word.
But, he's very cool, and he gives you some nice, as you said, Todd, you like the world building in the game. He does a nice job of adding to that mythos. You know, there's a lot of lore, and he does a good job of that, and plus Pyra is like not always in my party now, which is great. I kind of just really don't like her. I'm much more of a Mithra guy. So I've been
curse
using her a lot.
You.
Hold on. It's not even their own, Will. Come on. To each their own.
Yeah, I mean, to each their own. Yeah. One person, you know, is right. The other person is wrong. So, but yeah, so the thing, now, I've enjoyed those chapters. They were fun. The story was pretty good. And I liked the Chairman Banna boss fight was also pretty fun.
That being said,
I feel as though I'm missing something on how to level up my characters appropriately. So I've been doing that a lot.
Okay, then
so
you're fine.
I am like, I guess a quarter of the way through chapter 6, but before I board this ship to leave Indol to go to Zeke's place, Tantal, I wanted to like upgrade my legendary blades and get some more legendary blades. So I've been doing that. And I went to fight, like, this one thing I had to do was kill two legendary creatures in Leftheria with Wolfric get Wolfric one of his things. And there's this level 38, just a little dopey, like, I'm not dopey, like a weird creature with a driver, or with a blade, and a bunch of, like, minions around him. So when you fought him, the minions would automatically join in, and it'd be a whole annoying thing. But I was, like, level 48, and this thing was level 38. It just kept wiping out my party. Now, I don't know what I was doing wrong. Like, I just kept trying to get – I got as many things on him as I could, elemental orbs, and then I would do chain attack and try to break them all. And when I finally broke through, I got three on him, and then I broke them, and it killed him. But I just randomly, like, in the fight, everything would be going great, super easy, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, Nia died, like, just out of nowhere. Like, she didn't have aggro, but she died. I figured the minions were, like, just attacking her from behind or something, but there was nothing I could do to stop that. Like, I could fight them, but then the big guy would just join the fray anyway, and then he would kill whoever wasn't paying attention to him because he would get all these critical strikes. So, I'm not totally sure. Like, and I've been buying stuff. I played a bunch of stupid Tiger. I like a lot to upgrade Poppy. Yeah, I'm putting in the work to make my characters good, but like I can't seem to do it. Like I don't know if there's a way I should be grinding for better equipment or what. Like all my stuff is like level 2 at best. So I got like level 2 crit boost for Mithra, and because her crit rate's really good, and like the same sort of thing for really everybody. For Poppy, I have some level 3 stuff because of Tiger. But, like, is that just something I'll get over time and, like, that enemy was just, like, harder than his level indicated or what? Like, I have no idea.
It's a relative thing. I mean, I had the same problem, and I can honestly say this is something that pops up in Torn of the Golden Country, where sometimes I would be, like, 5 levels ahead of something and they would just totally wipe me out. It's all about just playing smart. I know that seems, like, cliche, but they're... Like, for that fight, I think you were supposed to try and take the minions out first, because they would probably be easier, and then go for the boss.
Right,
I don't know. But you aren't doing anything wrong, it's just sometimes this, and I've noticed in my review, the scaling is not fun, okay? Like, I told you about that dinosaur boss fight.
Yeah,
like, that's the kind of thing, and, like, I had the option to do the quest when I was like level, 40 or something, and I had to fight a level 80 T-Rex, so it's just like, what the heck? So yeah, the game is a bit unforgiving at times.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. And also, before I pass it to what I've been playing, I need to vent about something, it's very important.
Oh boy.
Is Smash Ultimate coming out?
Soon.
Is it ever coming out?
Like less than 2 months.
Why is there no news about this game? Like,
Sakurai.
They are just, like, driving me insane with the lack of news. Like, every day I log into Twitter, like, there's going to be a new character. There's going to be a new stage. There's going to be a Smash Bros. Direct. There's going to be some update on what's going... Like, no, today it was a Palutena fighter video. Like, I'm sick of these stupid fighter videos from characters that I've already seen 1,000 times. Yeah, Palutena looks great as always. I'm very excited to play as her. But give me something more. Give me a little bit more. I am so...
Sakurai warned us. He said the announcements were we've honestly been spoiled.
What was the point of having that direct on August 8th? Like, that direct should be like now. Like I don't understand how.
But
they
you say that. But if we didn't get it on August 8th, and we had to wait, let's say, another month, you would have said, I guarantee they waited too long. We should have had it the last month. We're spoiled because of all the great announcements that we've gotten. So now that we've had this somewhat of a delay since the last reveal, you're like, we need more announcements. We're spoiled.
No, fair point about I would probably be impatient. But just the cluster of announcements in that direct as well. Like, there's got to be some exciting piece of news. There has been nothing since Isabelle, and Isabelle was not exciting to me. So there has been nothing since that August 8th direct. And I feel like, you know, it's just, you know, not a knock on Isabelle, but I feel like a lot of people felt the same way I did about Isabelle, where like, That's you know, she's in the game. I figured she would be in the game, whatever. Like, kind of cool.
I was surprised.
But there was not a ton of excitement about it, you know?
Like, it wasn't like a Ridley or a King Cable.
Right, exactly. And I don't need Ridley. I don't need a Geno from Super Mario RPG. I just want, even if it's Ken, like, we're all pretty sure Ken's in the game. Like, give us a stupid fighter reveal trailer of Ken. Like, it's just something. That they need to have a direct on this soon. I'm sick of watching
they will.
Leak channels.
My prediction is basically as we approach the release date of December 7th, then I'm predicting that next month we're definitely going to hear something, I predict. It just feels like it's a very good way to go and set up for release day, like have one last direct before release, and then we'll just wait and see.
I definitely think the Game Awards is going to have DLC fighter revealed during it. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Do we have a date for that?
I think it's also on the 7th.
So really?
It might be the 6th. I'm pretty sure it's the 7th. I think it's the same day. So that would be really cool.
Okay.
But yeah, end of rant. I want some Smash news badly.
All right, Will, how about you?
Okay, so like just kind of rewinding back like 2 weeks prior during New York Comic Con, I have actually have tr as I said, I have tried out Kingdom Hearts 3, and so far what I played, the two modes, you and again faced off against Mount Olympus, against one of the Titans, and the new specials of Kingdom Hearts with Sora. Whew, okay, I can see it's definitely improved. I mean, I probably have to improve to get myself a PlayStation 4 Pro just to make sure I can run it properly instead of my base PS4, and also tried out the toy box mode, which is you take place in the Toy Story universe, and controlling a robot, it's fun. It's fun to say the least. So yeah, seeing different styles of Keyblades, just the lock-on functions. Basically what they added to this third entry is just, oh boy. Yeah, if you're a Kingdom Hearts fan, it is a very good time to be excited. It's very, very good. I can't wait for the game to come out in January, honestly. Other games I've been playing as well, as I actually have been making progress in Breath of the Wild, and
Hey.
the middle trials of the Master Trials. Curse you, Guardians! I mean, I probably should have ducked it while it was locked on me, but or didn't try to go ballsy and try to parry that beam, but that beam one shot at me. Oh yeah, I hate those Guardians. So yeah, like once yeah, just kind of sucks. Like once you die, you gotta start all over again. Like.
But have you beaten the
Jeez.
game?
No.
Then why
No,
are you doing the
no.
Master Trials?
Because I don't want the Master Sword to break. That's the
Right,
thing. I
Master
want it
Trials
to.
first. It does still break, but it is always glowing, so that's the good news. I agree though. I like doing the Master Trials
At least I
because
have one weapon that won't break. That's the reason why. I want to make
Right.
my final boss an easy run. Thank you very much.
It will still break.
It'll still break.
Ah,
It's just good.
shiza.
It will just take a lot longer.
I think it takes the same amount of time. It's just always stronger.
Including
So.
if you do the last trials, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Shiza.
I know. It was terrible design,
Yeah,
but
it's just like how the Hylian shield can actually break. It just has to take a stupid amount of abuse first. But like, it's like, wait a minute. We established in Skyward Sword that it can't break. It's literally indestructible. No, that was that timeline. That's not this timeline.
that's good to know. Probably should have skipped the nuts trials then, Craig. Alrighty, so yeah, bad. And actually been playing on a new game on my PS4. Playing Fist of the North Star Lost Paradise.
Ooh,
If
Kenshiro.
any, I don't know if anyone has thought about the game. It's basically created from the studios of Yakuza, Ryoga Gotoku Studios. And if you love the source material of Fist of the North Star, this game is pretty much good service on both ends. If you're either a Yakuza fan or a Fist of the North Star fan. Just like listening to the voice actor of Kiryu Kazuma voicing acting as Kenshiro is just, and especially with the famous lines of
You're
"Omae wo
already
mo
dead.
shinderu," and yeah, I gotta give props as well. Like English dubbing, it definitely has that sense of cheesiness that you expected back in like old school 90s dubbing.
Oh,
So
yeah.
if you have appreciation for cheesy dubbing, this game definitely would suit for you. But if you also prefer the original Japanese dubbing, it is also there. And again, "Omae wa mou shinderu" is just, and the "Hotohara Ken" is just, it never gets old. It never gets old when you see your enemies just blow up in smithereens. So the combat is satisfying. I'm currently working through up to chapter 8 now. I think there's only 12 chapters in this game, but there's a lot of side activities. There are some imperfections here and there, especially with the wasteland and like getting materials. But overall, like the combat is just fun. And if you love Fist of the North Star, you're definitely gonna enjoy this game. I think it's probably like one of the best Fist of the North Star games I think ever to exist right now, honestly. So yeah, I wholeheartedly recommend Fist of the North Star. Definitely try it if you get a chance to.
There you go. All right, as for me, aside from Heroes, because I'm stacking up orbs and playing the Tempest Trials, I'm like almost to 200 right now.
Wow.
I
well, it's just there hasn't been like a okay, there has, but I mean there hasn't
Significant
been
banner,
like a
yeah.
significant banner yet, like well, so the significant banner to pledge my orbs to yet, though apparently that might be changing soon. We'll see. But for me, I have finally gotten the World Ends With You final remix.
And go sorry, sorry, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, so do not
Not
interrupt me
interrupt.
when I'm talking about this game. So it came out on Friday, but I had to play, so I couldn't do that. Then I couldn't get it Saturday or Sunday, so I'm like, okay, I'll get it Monday. And sure enough, I had to be in town to help my mother out with something. So I go to my local Walmart. I say, hey, I need the World Ends. Oh my gosh, I gotta stop right here. When I went to this particular Walmart, their Switch section was so barren I couldn't believe I was in a Walmart. Okay? I mean, there was like maybe 10 titles on the shelves and everything else was empty. Like,
Wow.
I know. I'm like, what the heck? So, I mean, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. It's 3 days after the Sword World Edition came out. And they said, oh, we don't have it, but we have it online. You can get it there. I'm like, okay, bye. So I go, thankfully, because this is, a small town, there's actually a Meijer like less than a mile down the road. So I go to the Meijer. I don't see it on the shelves. So thankfully, this actually had a significant Switch stocking selection. And I go, hey, where's The World Ends With You? And they go, oh, let's go check in the back. Oh, it's sold out. I'm like, oh, suck you.
Wow.
So I had to go home. I was tired. It was like 8 a.m. in the morning. I just like, I'll get it on Wednesday when I go into like Megatown. And sure enough, on Wednesday, I go to Best Buy. The place stocked. Like six, seven copies of The World Ends With You just on
Yeah,
the
that seems
shelf.
reasonable. Yeah.
I'm just like, what the heck? I mean, don't get me wrong, if they really were both sold out at these places, which I honestly highly doubt, especially given the location where I live, that would make sense. But it's just, then I go to Best Buy and it's like fully stocked again. Really? Really? So, and then because of this busy week I've been having between the plays and work and everything else, I also haven't had that much time to play it. So I'm only about 2 days into the first scenario. Anyone who's played the game knows what I mean by that. But dear gosh, I missed this game. Like the moment the opening sequence started with Neku Sakuraba, who's our main character, just telling people to stay the heck away. I'm like, people sometimes don't realize that the reason this game was so beloved, became a cult classic, is because it was so dang edgy without crossing the line. This is the main character who literally tells you, stay the heck away from me, okay? Like, I got my values, you got yours, stay away. And that was awesome. And the graphics are crisp. Like, they literally upgraded from the DS to the Switch. It's all HD. Okay, revised. 99.5% of everything is HD. I do not know why, but there are these little icons that I swear they grabbed right from the DS version and they didn't upgrade them.
That's interesting. That's
It is
so
now.
weird.
Now, granted, this you could argue it's not anything important. It's literally little icons that you never are gonna truly see. It's not like like the pins and the psychs, like those are HD and those are fine. But then these little icons that like they're guide stickers, for lack of a better term. They're super pixelated, like they were pulled right from the DS. I'm like, you couldn't take all of 5 minutes to make those HD? It totally stands out. But, very small gripe right now. Everything else is crisp. The music is on point. They've actually expanded the music because it's on a console now and not a handheld. And I've already heard at least one new song. And trust me, I remember all the songs, okay? Because I've played this game a lot. So, but I'm loving it. The combat is a little different because it's not on the DS, which had the two screens. You could actually control you and your partner at the same time. Here, you have to do a little bit more finger work, which reminds me, only play in handheld mode.
Right,
Yeah.
I've heard some things regarding
Like,
the
that's
controls,
literally the
yeah.
thing I've been hearing in every review, which is all positive, mind you, except you do not play in docked mode because then you have to use like motion controls. And if you want that classic World Ends With You experience, play on this Switch screen in handheld mode. It's very responsive. It'll take a little getting used to, but you'll get it, and it's a lot of fun. So I hope to have. I say I'm going to be playing it soon, but I'm really not because I have a lot of work to do, and then I have a con on Saturday. But I hope to have a review up by next podcast, if not the one after that. So. But I am so happy to have this game back in my hands, and you two need to get it when you can. And our dear friend Koopa Keith says he's gonna get it because I want this game to get a sequel. Gosh dang it! So, but dang, I miss Shibuya. I love this. I love the look of this game. I love the sound of this game. The combat is really fresh, a lot of variety. The story is deep. Like, I already know what I'm probably gonna give it, but I have to be fair and like actually play the game again just to make sure that the Switch version holds up. But right now, it looks very much like the game I remember, but just a little bit better. Yeah, I also now have the strong urge to cosplay as Neku. Yeah. Yeah. I have the headphones, I just gotta get the rest. I don't know, will I look good in orange hair? These are the questions that keep me up at night.
I always view you as that Carrot Top kind of guy, so yeah.
Oh, shut up, Will. All right, well, despite what we were talking about earlier, there has been some really good news this week, so let's dive into it. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. So, starting off with something that Tyler Sourgrapes over there was talking about, Death Battle held its 100th episode.
Why is this news? This is not Nintendo.
It's significant. It's significant because it was Mario versus Sonic, and spoilers in 5, 4, 3.
No, they know.
Two,
they
one.
Know.
Mario won. He totally burned Sonic to a crisp and launched him into the water so hard it created a mushroom cloud explosion with eyes. Why? I do not know. These are also the questions that keep me up at night. Why does Mario have the power to create a mushroom cloud explosion that has eyes? I don't know. But yes, it was the battle was actually pretty fun. The Blind Ferret, who's a Canadian animation studio, didn't know that until recently. They animated it. It was really fun. Had good voice acting. It showed off the characters really well, including Sonic, despite what Tyler Sourgrapes over there would want to say. And it was really fun. But the reason I wanted to rub this in was because there was another piece of news that I'm going to let Tyler talk about, and that's that Sonic has officially sold over 800 million game copies in his tenure. Tyler, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of game copies.
That is a lot!
Yeah, I mean, you think of all the spin-offs that Sonic has been in, like, I'm sure they count the Sonic and Mario, the Olympic Games, and all that good stuff. Yeah. But still, a shout-out to the legend, because, I mean, that's an incredible, incredible achievement.
So, obviously, really quick, what's our favorite Sonic games?
Yes, good point. The best one is Sonic Mania, but my favorite is Sonic Adventure 2 Battle.
Same here, Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. I love that game.
I've always loved Sonic Battle on the GBA.
Good pick. Good
Thank
pick.
You. Thank you. So, but yeah, seriously, like, we always hear about, like, how well they sell in, like, a month or a couple months or when we get these annual reports. But the fact that Sonic, who has, of course, been here since the first official console war, technically. I mean, we don't really count the Atari generation because that wasn't really console wars. But, yeah, the first console war. Been around ever since. Sure, Sega doesn't make consoles anymore, but they still make games. So even in his low points where, you know, the Sonic the Hedgehog Xbox game or Sonic Unleashed
was okay. The Werehog stuff was dumb. The daytime stages were solid, but yeah. Rise of Lyric, Sonic Boom, I mean, those are rough.
That was rough.
The cartoon is good, apparently. I don't watch it, but I've heard it's good.
And the comic. I've heard great things about the comic. So this goes to show, if you have the right writers and the right team, you can make anything look good. So, but yeah, that shows that even during these down points, you know, like the non-Sonic Mania, Sonic Battle, Sonic Generations points, they were still selling. And so 800 million. Well done, Sonic. Well done.
Mm-mm-mm.
Too bad you're not going to make another game, because you did. I am the winner! I am the winner!
I really like that moment. It's like, let's go. Like, Mamma Mia. Like, oh shit, up in the air. I love those moments.
No, you know, you guys don't get to control the narrative here. The most annoying part of that entire thing to me is just the fact that they were like, Mario would be able to hit Sonic at any point. He would be able to actually, like, touch him. Because he couldn't. Sonic would just be
could.
Like, I'm going to run this way. I'm way too fast for you. You'll never catch me. I'm just going to keep running. You will die of old age while I travel at the speed of light, and therefore don't age. I win. Just awful. Awful. Anyway, continue with the program.
Here, I will debunk that whole argument in one sentence. If Sonic was literally untouchable, then how in the heck do Eggman and his robots hit him?
Mm-hmm. Eggman hits him with traps. Eggman gets him with the trap.
He has plenty of weapons in both the 2D and 3D games, and all of his bad nicks have weapons that can
Eggman
hit him.
Is a scientific genius. Okay,
he's still human, who is not even as good as Mario.
Right, you're actually going to ask for an explanation on this. I will give it to you. Because in a one-on-one fight, Sonic would just be able to run away, and it would be fine. But there's an objective driving Sonic forward. Sonic needs to approach these creatures. He needs to go through them in order to reach the end of the stage. So if it was like, Sonic, you have to get through this army of Mario, of cat Marios, yes, there's a chance that he could get hit. But if it was an arena, you know, even if it was in a closed arena, Sonic would just be like, all right, I'm going to just run around in a circle. Good luck. And that would be the end. Because, as I've said, sure, they say Mario's reaction time is amazing because he rode that giant star in Mario and Luigi Dream Team, but he also gets hit by Goombas who just, like, walk into him regularly. So that's neither here nor there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Sour Grapes.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right, speaking of sour grapes, and not on Tyler, but technically on all of gaming, Blizzard has taken two steps forward and one step back, because Diablo 3, again, is coming out to the Switch this November, and there was a rumor going around that Blizzard was working on giving the game cross-play between its console form, PC form, and the Switch version. Nope. They aren't actually doing that. They have said that they like the idea. They're not actually going to do it, which is stupid because this is Sony all over again. But what are you gonna do?
It's really kind of baffling. We're going to, like, especially in this current climate right now, because one, ever since, like, a lot of people want, like, to play with other people, like, heck, I don't mind playing with my Switch users with PS4 or Xbox users, because, again, more the merrier. I mean, the first game that allows this is, Fortnite. Yeah, Fortnite. And also Minecraft as well. Yeah, Minecraft.
Warcraft, Rocket League, various other titles
that is allowing crossplay. Yeah, cross-play, so why separate it? I mean, perhaps for the reason, maybe like they're working out on the whole Nintendo Online function. I mean, I don't know if they're going to use the Nintendo Online function to go along with the crossplay, if they would go back to it, but it just kind of seems very weird why they won't allow this. I mean, as I said, it's like Sony, like, why are you separating it? Like, are you really that worried of, I don't know, quote-unquote piracy, cheating? I mean, there's a lot of reasons, like, Nintendo and Sony gave, like, why they won't allow cross-system play. It's just like, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic Sony thing, not super shocked. I mean, I know this is a big game that you're going to want to play with friends, so I personally am very interested in getting it, so I do hope that this doesn't negatively affect things from the Nintendo player's perspective. I don't think it will, but it would be a shame.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, and also I think there's also, I saw like the new little controller they have GameStop exclusive. Like, they actually have buttons on the back of the grips, so apparently instead of like the usual pro controller style, they actually have an extra two more buttons on the grip behind it, like where you put your index finger on. So I don't know, like I seen the new redesign controls. That could look pretty nice, honestly. Just like Diablo on the faceplate is like, ooh, it's looking nice.
See. All right, moving on to up on my personal favorite pieces of news. Super Smash Brothers is getting a very special anime version of Greninja. It's been confirmed via the Japanese Twitter feed that Ash Greninja, who made his debut in the Pokemon XYZ anime, is going to be seen in Greninja's Final Smash. For those who don't know, Ash Greninja is literally what it sounds like. Ash and his Greninja from the anime had a special connection, which created this pseudo-mega evolution, kind of, sort of. And it made him more powerful, had extra spice, I suppose, flair, style, looks more like a ninja. And so they are incorporating this into his Final Smash, which I find cool, because XYZ was, for me, one of the best versions of the Pokemon anime. Not the least of which was because of Ash Greninja. It was really actually kind of cool. And it had like a story with it. It was really nice. So I know you guys probably don't care because you don't like the anime like I do, but it's just that little extra kernel, you know, that just adds a little more to the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it was definitely a cool add. I know what Ash Greninja is. I've seen it. I think, did Ash Greninja come into one of the Pokemon games? Did you say that?
Yeah, he was a downloadable prize kind of thing.
Yeah. I've seen him, you know, in a actual game before, but it's a nice little touch and part of what makes Smash Ultimate the ultimate version. Now, being said, I didn't need an entire day of Smash News dedicated to the fact that he had the Ash Greninja Final Smash. Back on my rant, that was just annoying to me because it's just not that big of a deal. Like, it's cool, it's not that big of a deal. Give us something cool.
Breathe, Tyler. Breathe. Spoiled, spoiled child. No, seriously, we went off on this before the podcast about Tyler complaining how we haven't had a significant Smash update in so long. But whatever.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to a little more significant news. Monolith Soft, they've been filling up my news feed recently, and including here on Outer Haven, because they have been doing a lot of things. Number one, they are having a mass hiring drive. Wonder what that means. No, but seriously, like, they're actually noted for being such a small team, yet doing a lot of good work, as proven by their Xenoblade Chronicles titles. And now that they have three studios, one that works with Nintendo and two that are on their own, they're hiring more people because they want to up the quality of their games. And they want to make sure that both they and the players are satisfied even more with their titles. And so they are hiring level designers, character designers, coders, I think a few battle mechanics, you know, and that kind of thing. So this begs the question, how many games are they working on right now? Because there's been a tease for it's been going on for a while of a brand new RPG coming from them that's not affiliated with Xenoblade. It's supposed to be like some kind of medieval RPG or something like that.
I just hope that they don't bog it down with unnecessary convoluted systems. Like, that's what they really need to hire is like a common sense game designer. They have somebody come in and say, no, you know what we shouldn't do? We shouldn't give you fetch quests where you have to run back and forth and deliver each item individually. That's a bad idea. That's just not fun. Like, they need that person. That's the person that they need to hire.
So basically you. You want to get paid to say tell people no, Tyler?
Yes. Yes, it's like a character consultant on a TV show. Like, you consult. Sit there, that person can sit in the corner, and then when somebody says a bad idea, they walk out and go, oh, that's a bad idea, and then they walk away. And then that's it. Like, that would be the job, and I think that's what they need.
Right.
I mean, going back on topic is regarding to the whole mass hiring, it's definitely something to think about. As you said, regarding to they have their hints regarding to a new medieval style kind of game, which honestly I would not mind if because again they have worked on Bakken Kaito, so it could be probably a little reimagining of going back to the fantasy medieval style, or it could be something else differently. It's like the only thing I can imagine. Again, Bakken Kaito, aside from Xenoblade, it's just like they definitely have the potential to make something very unique. And from what it seems, like, it may possibly be that, or probably something we have no idea what else. It is definitely up in speculation right now. But to answer your question, Todd, like, I'm my estimation is probably at least do making two different games at least.
I agree.
Because it feels like there's a good amount to like split the work half and half, like have one doing a new project while another one's like, I don't know, probably dabbing something else in like an existing IP like Xenoblade, or even heck, perhaps even a variety of Bakken Kaitos, as you said in previous podcast.
Bakken Kaitos. No,
well,
I agree.
They did say that they're not developing X for Switch right now.
Yeah, that
kind of cross
they,
that off. And they could
yeah,
be lying.
They were asked about it, and they go, and the head guy, Tetsuya Takahashi, said, while I would love to make this game, it would be very difficult to port it to Switch. It's because of the size of the game, and which is ironic because it's technically about the same size as Xenoblade Chronicles 2, but different style and everything for those who remember when they played it. It would take a lot of time and money. Time and money that they could be using to make Xenoblade Chronicles X2, maybe? Possibly? Maybe? Hopefully? I need it! I need it, dang it!
I know. So,
but I hope that they are making two games, because whether it's the continuation of Xenoblade and something else, or two different Xenoblade titles, you never know. Oh my gosh, could you imagine having two different Xenoblade games, totally different, in the course of like a year and a half? That would be awesome! Just long enough
I'll
to...
probably...
No, so just long enough for it to, you know, not be treading on me, you know? Like, unlike Star Wars, where they released Solo 6 months after Last Jedi, we all
do
know
not
that
speak
went.
Of that film. Do not speak of that film. And yeah, it would definitely be interesting. Like, yeah, if they are indeed making the next X2 games, or heck, even another Xeno title. I mean, heck, it finished up with Xeno Saga. They're continuing with Xenoblade Chronicles, and so I don't know. I don't know, something else of the Xeno prefix. Like, I don't know, Xeno. I don't. Not Xenoblade, Xenochronic Saga. What else is
Xenosonic.
at the end? Maybe, yeah. Who knows? Who knows? So probably
Come on,
another
Tyler.
entry in the Xeno.
Xenosonic. You know you want it.
Yeah.
Xenosonic Chronicles. Quest for the Chaos Emeralds.
Sonic Chronicles Dark Brotherhood. I don't think that was the actual name. It was close. It was Sonic Dark Brotherhood Chronicles.
Yeah, Sonic Dark Brotherhood. That was by BioWare.
Yes, it was. That was actually a pretty fun game.
Yeah. So, but I hope that we get some updates on them, because especially since now they're done with Torna, and they've said that there's no more DLC for Xenoblade Chronicles 2, so sky's the limit. Speaking of sky's the limit, man, these segues are just coming so naturally today. Fire Emblem Heroes has made $16.8 million in the month of September.
Woo,
just
woo.
September.
Wait,
I thought we were over this. I told you not to spend more money on that game.
I have. Hey, I'm starting to think that you are the one who's spending money on that game.
Oh, trust
like,
me.
You're
I'm saving
blaming
all,
us.
As anyone who knows me knows, I have honestly not spent money on this game because I'm saving my money because
I've been
keep
heading
spending
to
it
a whole
else.
Lot of cons and making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what? I have to spend that money. Okay, I kid you not. I'm waiting on my credit card bill for the next month because that's the one where I get hit with all my Philly bills. So all the money I've been saving up and earning at the cons is literally going to pay off that bill.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, and by that you mean your Fire Emblem Heroes debt.
No, not even close. Speaking of debt, Tyler, you still owe me $20.
I do.
Yes, you do. But no, seriously though, $16.8 million in
Four.
1 month, which is a staggering mm-hmm. amount. And to be fair, I know that you guys weren't a majority of it because, according to the Sensor Tower, whose lives are dedicated to finding out stats like this, apparently $9.1 million of that month came from Japan.
Not surprising.
No.
Honestly, not surprising.
No, not surprising at all. But still, that just shows how much Japan likes this game. I mean, I know that they're like the kind of like the gacha country, if you will. But still, 9.1 million in 1 month. And adding to the intrigue of this is that they had a 37% increase in download rates compared to August.
Oh, wow.
So that's impressive. And so apparently right now, Fire Emblem Heroes is at about a little over 14 million downloads.
That's
wow,
pretty great.
Wow.
14
wow.
million people have gotten to yeah. experience Fire Emblem in some form.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's right, even right. like a quarter of that. So let's see, that would be...
I mean, that's a lot to
yeah,
say a quarter.
That's be, like 3.5 million. That would be, if we could get a quarter of those people to buy Fire Emblem Three Houses when it comes out, bam.
I mean, to be honest, like, I think that one banner we're going to what's the other dagger user, the red dagger user, who's what was her name again in Fates? What was her name? Shoot. Yeah, like she basically had like a very insane stat regarding to her throwing knives. Like, yeah, Celica, not
Flora?
Sister Celica. Yeah, Flora. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
She was just crazy in regards to stat wise, honestly. Just crazy.
Yeah, she had her dagger gave her +20 defense.
It's
oh,
yeah,
yeah,
I think that's probably the reason why people just wanted her. She's just nuts, and yeah. Oh, and aside from her, like of course we're heading into the Halloween banner right now, and yeah, like as with these different banners and just seeing that big sales figure, especially from Japan. Like as I said, Japan is definitely the gacha country. They love everything about it, and plus again they also have the cypher cards as well to go on with it as well, so I think that's also kind of like also continue on with that sense of popularity. But
yeah,
like these banners, like especially with the new characters, and like especially the recent one with Bunny, Mei Kagero, not Niles, and the other two, is just like, yeah, even for like not non-legendary banners, is like these characters are not bad at all, even with like the generals of Muspelheim. It's like pretty impressive. So
yeah,
I think
didn't really care about
the
banners of Moosebell or the generals of Moosebell banner, but yeah, I mean they're still cranking out some good ones. I pulled for Mer today, and I got her on the. I've been trying to get her for ever since she came out, and she's on the Bound Hero Battle thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing a good job of keeping the good units like in rotation. I haven't seen a banner that's filled with like, oh man, why would I ever want this character on it for a while? And they used to be like all the time, which is like, okay, this is clearly, if you're an Odin fan, you're going to pull on this banner, but you're not an Odin fan. Nobody's an Odin fan. So
Don't. Cho is an Odin fan.
No, a lot of people like Odin, but more. I mean, I think of Owain and Odin as two different characters. Honestly, most people like Owain and not Odin. So
we'll see. But yeah, I'm amazed. I'm just hoping that they can keep up this momentum and it just keeps driving towards Fire Emblem Three Houses. Which I mean, you're mad about Smash Bros. I'm mad
oh
that we
gosh,
haven't seen anything about Three Houses in forever. So something from there.
Very
I mean,
lucky that Smash is my ire on that because you're right. I really want some of this news, but I'm so focused on Smash right now.
But don't worry, if you need to draw your ire even more, let's talk about Pokemon. Let's go.
Hey, yeah. Hey, you know what we should talk about? We should talk about Dragalia Lost.
Sure, why not? Let's keep it mobile.
It seems like a good spot for it.
I agree. So, if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about how in its first 5 days, again, 5 days, it made $3 million, which many people were kind of disappointed with for some stupid reason because, oh, it's not making as much as Animal Crossing or Fire Emblem or Mario. You know, the established IP that's been going on for years. But, as Tyler happily found out, in the first 2 weeks, two full complete weeks of the game coming out, you know, it made $16
million. $16 million. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty good. I mean, that's really
good. For
two
weeks? Heck yeah.
Yeah, a new IP, you know, had a lot of... I think that this game is going to be a success for a long time. Like, not that it's going to ever blow you away with each individual weekly report on how good it's selling, but it has a clear-cut target market that I think will play it for a long time.
And note what this means. It means that, like I feel a potential hit should, you know, with a new IP, it was slow to start. Which, again, is a new IP, if you didn't know these people, because it technically isn't Nintendo, it's a third-party team. So, you know, you didn't know until it had, like, 800,000 downloads in its first 5 days of 3 million. And then in the next 9 days, it blew up, made 16 million. Sorry, and I would be very surprised if it didn't have, like, between 1 and 1.5 million downloads right now. So, we don't know at present. That's why I say the estimate. But that's how quickly it changed. In 9 days, it made an extra $13 million.
It's quite very surprising. Like, I admit, I was, like, very skeptical first, like, how the game is, as it's very reminiscent of very other mobile titles. Huh. But to see this title, like, surpassing, like, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is, like, it definitely has its audience. I mean, again, one mobile action RPG with dragons on that, like, heck. I guess there's enough people who would like this thing. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely not for me, but heck, I'm happy it's doing well. I mean, good
well,
for
I thought
Nintendo,
you might like it.
Nintendo.
Honestly, I thought it might be something that you would enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, who doesn't like dragons? But for the time being, right now, I'm invested in Fire Emblem Heroes for the time being. Right
yeah,
now.
yeah, that's the counterpoint.
Yeah.
The rates in Fire Emblem Heroes to get good stuff is. Like
oh, much higher.
Generous than...
Yeah. Ironically, when I was talking with our dear friend Cho one time, she was saying, Todd, you don't know how lucky you are with these rates. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, oh, some of the gacha games like Dungeons and Dragons.
I mean, at least it's not like other mobile games like Fate Grand Order. Those drop rates are, oh my god, in Fate Grand Order.
It's like PAG or something like that. Anyway, well, it was one of her games she's playing, and one it had dragons too, and like the rates were kind of similar to Dragalia Lost, and so I now appreciate somewhat what Fire Emblem Heroes does with the higher rates. But so this proves that, you know, this is a hit game. It's likely, like Tyler said, going to be a hit for a while, and we shouldn't judge a game by its first 5 days, okay?
Especially not a mobile gacha game.
That was a new IP that Nintendo was promoting. Okay? So. Okay. Now let's talk about Pokemon Let's Go. Alright, there's honestly been quite a bit of news, and it's not surprising as we're less than a month away from release. The team behind the game have been talking about the process of making the game, more the inspirations about it. Obviously, Pokemon Go. But apparently, while making Pokemon Let's Go, they were going for a, quote, more realistic look at first. But then, as they were showing it off, they could just tell the gamers weren't connecting with it. So they went to a more childish, kind of simplistic look, and that's how we got the look we have now. And they've said that they want this game to be a relaxing, soothing, simplistic experience, which again coincides with what they said before about this being more casual Pokemon title. And according to Junoichi Masuda, he thinks that Pokemon Let's Go and the main title that's coming out for Switch next year, which is the more hardcore title, has the potential to be the gateways for the next 20 years of Pokemon. Which is a lot of Pokemon, okay?
Yeah.
I can only imagine like where I'm going to be in 20 years, honestly. Like 20 more years of Pokemon is like, oh boy. My grandkid's going to have like more experience with Pokemon than me. But yeah, to pay more weight in more generations of Pokemon, I mean, like, how many? Okay, there's kind of like, I don't know. There's like 10 generations already of Pokemon
there's
right now?
Seven generations of Pokemon.
Oh, seven. Okay, not that much yet. Okay. But still, seven generations of Pokemon right now, like, oh boy, I already lost count already. So, I don't know. It's amazing, to say the least. But going to Pokemon Let's Go, it's like, yeah, the art style, it works. It's as I said, like, they're trying to go for like a very simple, a
it
simple
doesn't
Pokemon.
Doesn't work. Right? It doesn't work. The art style doesn't work.
It doesn't work for you. Say it correctly. It doesn't work for you.
No, it's not what it should be. It should be better. It should be better. I'm not saying it doesn't work for me, because you're right, it doesn't work for me, but it should be better than it is.
No, but that's the thing. That's what I was talking about. They said that when they started making Pokemon Let's Go, they went for a more photorealistic look. And yet, when they showed it to people, they weren't connected. So,
right. No, I get that. I totally get that. But there's better ways to do it. It doesn't have to look like Pokken Tournament, which I think Pokken Tournament has a great look to it. Because
say that
it
again?
Does look...
Pokken? Pokken Tournament?
That's people... No, many people say Pokken. That's
Pokken.
The one
I have always heard Pokken.
Said.
Undeniably.
No, no.
Pokken Tournament.
You tweeted us NEP podcast if you've ever heard them say Pokken. I've heard
Pokken
many times.
Oh, my God.
But I'll say Pokken for your sake. Pokken. That's fine.
I forgave
acceptable.
The Mario thing, because that's just dialect.
People
there you go.
Have said Pokken. Because you would, but anyway. I'm trying to come up with a good comparison, but I can't. So anyways, onwards. that game's got a weird looking graphical style. I mean, I think it looks really sharp, but it kind of looks almost slightly realistic. So you don't have to go that direction 100%, but you're just that stupid, like, 3DS slightly upgraded style that they have now. It's just not, it doesn't look good.
Uh-huh. To you.
To
you. No, to a human being who knows what the Switch is capable of putting out.
Okay, that's
it doesn't
just...
have to go all 4K, you know.
No, it doesn't.
Just wrong. That's just wrong to say, because that means that Super Mario Odyssey should have been better, and that was clearly cartoony.
Wrong. Super Mario Odyssey was beautiful.
It was
That's
beautiful.
What Pokemon Let's Go should look like. It should be a similar in terms of beauty. It doesn't have to have the same exact style, but Super Mario Odyssey looked amazing.
It did
Pokemon
look amazing,
Let's Go
but it was a different...
slightly up-res 3DS models. That is just a fact. Look
no,
at the stupid backgrounds. Look at the textures. It looks like a 3DS. It looks like the next handheld version of Pokemon. If this was on, like, the 3DS 2, I would say this is great, but it's on the Nintendo Switch. We have Super Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild look amazing. Pokemon Tournament looks like a 3DS game. Or Pokemon Let's Go looks like a 3DS game.
Hey, Will.
Uh-huh.
You know what we call people like Tyler?
Correct. Smart human beings with eyes.
No.
And taste.
Thinking something more starts with an H.
Cultured individuals.
No. That doesn't start with H. What's it called? Oh, yeah.
Hater!
just not a fanboy. I'm a huge fan of facts.
Oh, facts. The fact is, you can't admit that you are wrong by saying that you are representative of all of the people who play the Switch. I have no issues with these graphics. Could they be better? Sure. Could they be worse? Yeah. Could they be more realistic? Maybe. But they wanted to go for a more casual style, and this looks like Pokemon style. I'm sorry. It does.
Yeah, the existing Pokemon style, but it should we should be pushing it forwards to higher.
But that's what the main game is for. They said that
No,
some of
that's
their
what
work.
any. No, but so why would you like cripple another game just so the main game looks
They're not
better? Like,
crippling
that's
it. They
dumb.
said they are appealing to a wider audience, and the
No.
wider audience
Oh,
will
well.
want something more cute, for lack of a better term.
They are incorrect.
No, they are not.
Nani.
We will see. They are
Oh, we will
incorrect.
see. We will see. Sorry. But yeah, we will see, because it comes out in less than a month. And when it's and we're going to be talking about it before the release, so that we can predict how well it's going to sell in the first fair month. And I bet that you're going to bet low, Tyler, and we're me and Will are going to swing high, and we're going to be
No,
right.
it's Pokemon. It's going to sell well, but I don't
Well,
think it's going to
that's
be
never.
liked by.
Because, like, again, with the recent, with the recent popularity of Pokemon Go from Niantic, I mean, like, you have you seen how many people outside of the Pokemon fan base has got introduced to Pokemon or got reintroduced to Pokemon? I think it's because of the popularity of Pokemon Go. A lot of people was like, yeah, even more than expected, it's gonna definitely try out Let's Go Pokemon, Let's Go Pikachu, or Let's Go Eevee. So I don't know. That it seems to me like that's got a good indication that this thing is gonna go really big.
I think this has the potential best-selling game on the Switch. And that's saying something, because obviously we got Smash Brothers coming out in a month afterwards, but I think at minimum it could easily break top three within a month or two, depending on reviews, word of mouth and everything, because of the Pokemon Go factor and everything else. It has that potential. And if for proof of this, look at Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is a port of the Wii U game, which is uberly casual, even though it's, a competitive racing game, right? So,
I.
all right, one more thing, and this is one I'm actually happy to report about, is that Super Mario Party apparently is doing really well, at the very least in Japan, because according to sales. Also, it's doing well in the UK. I'll get to that in a second. But according to descriptors from Japan, it's doing significantly better than the previous Mario Party game, which wasn't that good, but still. And so that's a good thing. And then in the UK, they were selling extra Joy-Cons to help facilitate the Mario Party factor, and those sold out. And
Wow.
remember, Joy-Cons are like, what, 70, 80 bucks? So
Yeah.
for those to sell out alongside copies of Mario Party, I think this could be another million seller for the Switch. I mean, we don't have the numbers. It only came out on October 2nd. So, yeah, so we'll see.
It's definitely something to say, least, because it seems to me that Super Mario Party does some things very well, as well as some things that kind of like fall short on. But
Well,
from
that's
what I've
every
seen,
Mario
so
Party game.
yeah, granted. But from what I've seen so far on YouTube and everywhere, all other gamers' experience of it, it's again, it's Mario Party. It definitely has that. It's definitely like a kind of a bit of a shortened down factor. Instead of paying 20 coins for start, you only pay 10. But it still has that same element to screw each other over, and it's that sense of randomness that I can make or break you, which can either be frustrating and at the same time fun. And I've seen like people like, okay, I got the lead, like, and nope, get screwed over at the bonus stars at the end. It's like, it's just simply fun. That's how Super Mario Party is best described now. It's like it doesn't do anything well, but it's just simply fun. And that's really all it needs to be.
So we'll see where that goes. Hopefully we'll get some sales numbers too, and we'll be able to hopefully report the good news. All right, heading to our main event of the evening, Splatfest. It's coming. It's coming tomorrow, and it's going to be a dual length one. It's going to be 48 hours long, and it's time to debate what is m more important, the tricks or the treats. And as you hopefully all know, there's only one to settle this, and that's to settle it in Splat. Okay, so we teased this 2 weeks ago. We are divided once again on this Halloween topic. If you recall, last year it was vampires versus werewolves, and we were divided on that one too. So it's tricks versus treats, and let's let Sour Grapes Tyler over there discuss why he thinks his
No,
pick
I'm
is
going
correct.
second. I'm going second. I took the underdog pick.
Oh, right. You took the undead pick. Right. All right. So, what, Will, why don't you school him first, and then I'll just follow up and add my own bit.
Okay, so obviously the whole sense of trick-or-treating, like, yes, there is always that sense, like, if you don't get the treat, you gotta play the trick. But to be honest, like, do we really, in this kind of world right now, do we really want to go play pranks and tricks on people, especially, I don't know, throw eggs on doors? I mean, I still remember back when
Yes.
I was grow I still remember
Yes.
when growing up, like, you throw eggs on doors, like, really? Why on earth would you want to waste eggs on people's door fronts? Honestly, it's just so unhygienic, for Pete's sakes. Other practical jokes, like, I don't know, like, scare them, like, I don't know, even like do trickery, the sense of trickery, like, what are you, are booze? Are you freaking want to be booze all around, just go scare people, play tricks? Like, what are you evil gremlins? I mean, heck, I already have enough trouble dealing with imps on Bre in Breath of the Wild and as well in Wind Waker. Thank you very much. So, but when it goes to tricks, the treats themselves, is like, that's the one thing that's kind of like the one, most rewarding thing. Is like, again, you give out treats for sake of like the spirit of Halloween. And just also quick FYI, like, make sure to go and pick up your three sp unique gear for Splatfest: the Kyangshi, the ski mask, and the devil horns. Make sure to go grab those things. But yeah, for sake of you getting treats like Snickers bars, candy corn, and yeah, candy corn, that's another big debate. But getting these sweets for the sake of the you dressing up and going to door fronts, like, that's kind of like one of the sweetest things about it. No pun intended. Like, you get having to go door to door, getting a whole load of sweets, and then going back home and enjoy the big potluck of it is like dressing up, going on a holiday. The holiday spirit of getting sweets is like, yeah, there is the chance of getting diabetes, therefore eat responsible. But overall, it's like, now this is the life, especially when you were like growing up as a kid. I mean, probably not as significant as you are later on in adult ages. But I mean, again, it's. How can you really say no to candy? Honestly.
Yes. Yes, you can.
My turn. All right. When you were young, and I know that I'm old, so I know I have to really look back into my life. But for you young people out there, I was expecting laughs from that. I'm actually surprised, but whatever. So when you heard about Halloween, there were usually two or three things you thought about. Thought about the costumes, because everyone wanted to dress up as something special. I remember being Batman many years. I actually dressed up as a Cub Scout, which because I was lazy one year, but I rode around a rollerblade, so you know I had cool factor there. My grandmother actually made me a handmade costume one time. That was very, very nice. Snowman. It was really hot. It was bulky. Never mind. So there's the costume. Then there's the anticipation. You know Halloween is coming. You know it's coming soon. You're getting all ready for it. You see your parents decorating everything, and they get the bowls with a certain something something in it. And then go out that night, and you look for every single house that has a light on. And if you were like me and my sister, you went to the houses that didn't have a light on because we're evil. And then you rang that doorbell, you knocked on that door, and those people would open up, and you would scream, "Trick or treat!" And if those people were saints or good people or just people trying to get rid of you, again, we knocked on doors you probably shouldn't have, they would reach into their bowls and they would give you candy. So much candy. And you did this for hours and hours. You would go from street to street, methodically going from house to house. And you remember that feeling when the candy was all collected, when your parents dragged you away, in sometimes literal cases, from ringing more doorbells or knocking on more doors because you had enough candy. And then you and your siblings, or if you were a lone own child, you would pour your candy out and you would start looking around and you see, what did I get? Oh, I got chocolate here. I got caramel here. Look at all the suckers I got. Oh my gosh, they had taffy. This is why my teeth are all rotted out. But you remember the candy. And then every year, up until you felt you were too old to trick or treat, which was like 24 for me. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But you, every year, when you realized that Halloween was there, you thought about your costume, because that was always important. You were anticipating every day leading up to the 31st. And then when the 31st came and your parents gave you the signal, you ran out of that house because you wanted the candy. Even though we are old now, and for me, I'm really, really old. I mean, I'm going to be turning 30 soon, so you know, I'm like way over the hill. Every time you see the stores and the decorations and the feeling as you look at the clock and you see we're at 10:08. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at my clock right now. It is 10:18 on 10:18. That's hilarious. Sorry, reminiscing. But you remember what it was like to get all of that candy. You remember what it was like to always see one more house. I want to get one more house with one more candy, and I want to chow
it
all down.
Are you done? Are you
no,
done?
I'm not done. I'm not I am not done! And you remember going to the dentist about, oh, I don't know, 3 weeks later, because you didn't exactly brush your teeth after devouring all this candy, and you
don't think that happened to anybody. If that happened to you, your parents did a very bad job raising you.
No comment. But the dentist would look at you good and they go, how much candy did you eat? And I go, a lot. And they go, you realize what we're going to have to do to your teeth? And I go, yeah, but it was worth it because the candy was good.
Yes.
To this day,
terrible.
You remember the candy because
no,
the
you
candy
don't.
Is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Candy is eternal. Yeah, that's so.
And just my mind. Add one more thing as well. Like, you know how much, like, as a kid, like, especially with today's economy right now, you know how much candy is cost now? As, like, $1 just for a simple bar? Like, imagine, like, you go out to trick-or-treating. You know how much money you're getting from candy by itself? Like, yeah, you're pretty much making, like, $50, even maybe $100 worth of candy right there and there.
That's the best argument I've heard for Team Candy so far, to be honest. And that tells you something about the arguments for Team Candy. Because, you know, as Todd, let's just get the elephant out of the room here. I mean, who doesn't like a good candy bar? Like, at Reese's, I'm a huge Reese's guy. They're great. But I can get Reese's any time of the year. I'm not 12. So here's the issue here with
I'm pretty sure
candy.
That's the only fact you're going to have in your entire argument is you're not 12. Such insight, Tyler.
Yeah. Well, and neither are you two. So I get that candy was great when we were little kids. We all didn't love a good candy. I mean, candy's great. And the candy's still great now. But you have to evolve. You have to get to that next level. And Halloween is really – it's like the first big holiday to close out the year. And it's about the culture. You know, it's about the culture. It's about the seasons changing and preparing for winter, which is arriving,
are you saying that winter is coming?
I'm saying that winter is in fact coming, and Halloween is that. It's that signal. It's that culture, and that's why trick is the right option here, because candy is a very one trick pony. It tastes good sometimes, but let's not act like, you know, we all didn't roll our eyes at our 15th Baby Ruth bar or whatever one you didn't like. For me, it was like the stupid mints, Junior Mints. Oh gosh, awful. Junior Mints, terrible.
Oh, come on,
so
I like those.
That's
come
another
on.
Point about candy. I'm going a really negative argument here, but I'm going to attack candy again and say, once you hit 15, you just buy the candy that you like when you want to eat it. Like, it's not that expensive. It is kind of expensive, as Will said, but it's not if you want candy, you know, for me, I would just go straight Reese's and just go to the store and buy yourself some Reese's and you can enjoy those. You don't have to, you know, do the trick-or-treating thing. And I mean, trick-or-treating was great when you were kids, but once you've grown up, it becomes more about the culture of fall and the darkness that is arriving, because the
darkness
days are getting shorter.
Arriving.
And that's really where the tricks come into play, because it's time for scary movies. It's a phenomenal scary movie time. It's time for pranks, because, you know, the days, first of all, let me just give you a little bit on seasonal depression. As the sun goes down longer, people get sad more. And therefore, tricks come into play as a way to lighten everybody's mood. So really, another big point for tricks is that they make people laugh, and pranks. Pranks are always great. Very big on Pranksters, a Saturday Night Live skit. You should look it up. If you haven't seen it, you probably haven't. It's awesome. It's very funny. Pranks and tricks are the real heart and soul of Halloween come the end of the day. And I will say, for tricks, for me, goes just beyond the fact of scary movies. It's really, I can't stress enough, it's about the culture, you know? It's about having Mr. Bones in your house, that just a skeleton that's chilling in your corner, and you dress him up for the holiday, and then you keep him out. You dress him up for Christmas and Thanksgiving as well, because it's funny to have a Mr. Bones sitting there. That's also part of the tricks. You know, it's a cultural phenomena. And candy, you know, it was a cultural phenomena when we were younger. But now that we're not younger, you really have to lean into the tricks element, because you can enjoy the treats at any time.
Ha! That's if you want to incorporate the spirit of mischief and vandalism, I quote
yeah,
from Pearl.
Did we ever talk about, I didn't even mention the greatness of vandalism. I mean, like, remember when
greatness
we were in middle school?
Vandalism?
You just
you
said
yourself,
greatness
man.
Of, what kind of example are you setting for our listeners,
remember when
Tyler?
You were in middle school and you didn't like your Spanish teacher, so you
oh
went and egged
God.
Your house? Was that
too personal? No, I don't, Tyler! Because I wasn't a hoodlum!
Well, I mean, you didn't like her. She was really kind of nasty, and you had to make her lighten up. So you went and you egged her house. You hit her
no,
with the old TP.
I didn't.
Not
and then
no.
You came in the class the next day, and she was really, really not happy. And you knew why, and she knew why, but she can tell who did it. So she just had to sit there quietly. That was, yeah. I mean, it was just a little wow. revenge. I mean, that's Halloween is the season of revenge. Another phenomenal thing. Who doesn't love extracting revenge upon their foes? Halloween's the best time for it. You can play it off as a funny prank.
No.
Team tricks all the way.
Okay, first of all, you just admitted that you enjoy making a science teacher miserable.
No, it was Spanish.
Oh, sorry.
Spanish. Oh,
and it's
my
a Spanish
God.
Teacher that made me and my peers miserable as well. First of all, I never actually did that. I just gotta say.
Sure, you
I gotta
did.
Say,
I
it
wonder.
Was funnier. It was funnier when I acted like I did it, but I didn't do it, so I have to confess to that. I really
sure.
never did that. However. Yeah. I wish that was something that I had done, because the Spanish teacher did make everybody miserable in middle school, and she deserved to get pranked. She deserved to get egged.
No, she didn't. Okay. Here's the thing. I acknowledge some of your points. I acknowledge that candy as a child is more sacred because we couldn't afford it ourselves.
Right. You had to get Halloween. You had to save it, and you would eat it in like February. You still have Halloween candy left. That was
well,
great
if you were,
back
if
in
you
the
were
day.
An idiot, then sure.
Well, if you
but,
were a reasonable person.
Yeah,
or
says
if you
the guy who
it.
Egged
if you
his
even good
Spanish
at trick or
treating,
you didn't
car.
Have candy stashes going around until like the next Halloween. Did you
no,
even
not,
know how to trick or treat?
Hey, first of all, don't insult my mother's cooking, okay? I had a reason.
Oh, I'm insulting it.
Oh, okay. He's going down. He's going down. Okay. I was going to be nice and just slowly like appease like what you said, but no, let's just go right
your
into
mother's
it.
A bad
tricks,
cook.
You did not just my mom's going to kill you.
Not a
that's
good cook.
It. Next yeah,
she
time
can kill me with her cooking.
Next time in the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, my mother is going to be here to chew out Tyler because he dares insult my mother's cooking. Oh, it's on like Donkey Kong. Oh, yeah. And you notice I said Donkey Kong and not Donkey Konga like I always say, so you know I'm ticked. Okay, so you want to say how tricks are better? Oh, yeah, let's talk about the tricks. You know, like when you get caught and you are grounded for
you
a long
must
time.
Be bad at tricks.
It's called being obvious that you pulled the trick, Tyler, no, because if you're no. doing it when you're a kid, you're not exactly solid.
Never yank a prankster, Tyler. If you yank a prankster, you're going to get pranked.
That makes no sense.
Oh, it does make sense.
Whatsoever.
Never, you don't yank a prankster. It's ask anybody.
Oh yeah.
What
well,
are you?
You,
are
you,
what,
you here's a prankster. Phrase I'm sure you know. Candy is dandy. Ask any person on God's green earth who can eat candy. I acknowledge some people can't. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to talk about tricks?
Insensitive of you.
Okay.
First of all.
You said candy's year round. So are tricks. Because when you're a juvenile delinquent or an adult jerk, you can prank anyone on any time just because you want revenge. And I'm doing the air quotes with my hands right now. And I'm sure you can see them through the screen. Revenge. All right? So you don't need Halloween as an excuse. You can do that during Thanksgiving. You can do that at Christmas.
No, but
you can do that on New Year's.
Point.
Hey, let's start New Year's with a prank. Who hasn't done that? Oh, you want to screw with someone? Send them a fake Valentine that explodes in their face. Not that I've ever done that. Okay, you want, or how about St. Patrick's Day? Ooh, let's put a little something in their beer to make them, you know, their tongues green or whatever. Or how about exploding eggs? We've all done that. I'm not afraid to admit it. Okay? And on and on and on. You don't need Halloween as an excuse to do tricks. So the tricks are literally irrelevant, unlike the candy, which has an actual cultural significance.
Yes.
So don't
yes.
talk
if you
to
remember
me
back
about
his...
the spirit
no,
of Halloween.
No, it's
okay?
not the same though. See, if you do it at the other those other times of the year, you're just a jerk. During Halloween, you can get away with it.
No. Because okay, if I recall from history as well, because again, back during the times of witches and all that, again, the witching hour and all that jazz. Because again, the reason that we gave child tricks is again to ward off the spirits. That's the reason why we gave out treats in the first place. So instead, as well, tricks have no part of it. And instead, I'll probably even say to the point that even the treats, any sweets, tricks, sweets or candy whatsoever, I can say they even more the savior of humanity because again they ward off the evil spirits. That is the basic concept of Halloween. If you remember, all those days ago.
I'm just gonna say I'm team evil spirit. Even the evil spirits are out there trying to have fun. They're trying to ball, you know, and that's what Halloween's about. It's about embracing the demonic.
Which you appease with them with candy, thank
no,
you.
No, you don't you like it to pray, like All Saints Day comes right after it, and that's when we're like no. We're supposed to be good. There's some religious overture to Halloween, but you know, regardless of that, you gotta be team demonic spirits.
No, I don't.
What
are you're setting a bad example for the children.
I mean, heck, as far as I'm concerned, I would look.
Please tell me, I'm not the
I would look
one.
At your profile. I would look
demonic
at your squirtling with either the Jason mask or that demon horns, because I would swear I would gonna go after you with my Kyungshi mask. Thank you very much.
All right,
I cannot
well,
wait
let's
to
wrap.
See you
let's,
in
yeah, let's wrap.
I win. I win.
No,
you guys
lose.
Lose.
Oh,
you lose
please.
Emphatically.
I win. You lose. And
you lose emphatically because I actually have a little thing called heart on my side.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even need earth, wind, water, and fire to form Captain Freaking Planet. I have all the heart needed to do it. Because mm-hmm. Captain Planet would condone candy and not evil pranks or demonicness. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can take your tricks and shove it.
Well, we'll settle this on the field because there's
oh,
going to be about 2% of the
right,
people are going to be
and
team treats. It's going to be 98% people on team treats. I mean, it's going to be a rout, and yet,
yeah, again,
team trick is correct.
No,
yes,
because once we rout you again, you're going to have to admit that you were wrong again.
Again,
I'm never wrong.
Yeah, your splat record would say otherwise. So.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Love Conquers All, thank you very much. And
Love Conquers All.
Okay, so we talked
loveliness.
About that one. That Love Conquers All was a...
No, enough. We're not
We've already had
into
that
this.
Discussion.
We are not getting into this. We are ending this episode and the Never Entertainment Podcast right now. Tyler, our poll question from 2 weeks ago, please.
Right, so we asked you if the Nintendo Switch upgrade was going to, or the potential remodel for the Nintendo Switch would be a minor upgrade, would be an Xbox One X-styled upgrade, or if it would be a potential downgrade or something different entirely. And 33% of you said minor upgrade, 50% said major upgrade, 17% said lower priced model.
Okay. That's not a bad divide. I mean, and ironically, you haven't heard anything about this since then, so you kind of have
right.
to wonder. So,
right,
but then
right,
again,
right.
if it was coming late next year, we might not hear about it again for a while, but we'll keep our ears open. All right, so let's see. What should be our poll question for today?
Is candy corn a real candy?
Yeah, because you can write your teeth on it. Duh.
All right, I've got a couple ideas. One,
okay.
Is Death Battle dumb?
No.
No.
Okay, are Todd and Will dumb?
No.
are you team demonic spirit?
No! Oh, dang it, man.
Okay, fine. How about this one? When do you think we will get our newest Smash Bros. Reveal?
I like that. So let's go within the next 2 weeks. Next month, which puts us just after the release of Pokemon Go, or a direct a week before launch. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, when do you think we're going to get our next Smash Brothers character reveal? Because it honestly has now been over a month since the Isabelle reveal at the last Nintendo Direct. So It has been a while, but and then again, Sakurai said that they would be coming out a little bit slower. So, all right. So yeah, next 2 weeks, within next month, or a week before the game launch. There you go. And of course, let us know about what you think about everything else. Are you mad that Diablo 3 is not going to get crossplay? Are you excited for Ashgren Ninja? What do you think Monolith Soft is doing? What do you think about the Pokemon Let's Go, and will it be the gateway for the next 20 years of Pokemon? How excited were you that Mario totally blew up Sonic in the Death Battle? And of course, or and honest to goodness one, have you been playing Dragalia Lost? So, just let us know, and if we hear back from you guys, we'll definitely mention it in the next podcast. So, for Telly's Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.